The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, another edition of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. Pleased to be with you tonight. I know you're out and about, holiday shopping, greeting family. It's that kind of week. But it's football season, folks, so it's not that kind of week for John Fox and his staff or anybody affiliated with football. It's a weird dynamic every year at this time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you grow up in this profession, you know, you're pretty much used to working Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know, we'll meet in here. We'll give them a couple hours in the morning, Christmas morning, but we'll form up here at 9:30 Friday morning.
Yeah, that's the way it works. And you hope, you know, every time you're working through New Year's and everything, which in this case you will because of a January 3rd game. But the schedule doesn't change. Just got to go about your business.
No doubt. You know, I think, you know, we kind of made the corrections from this past weekend's game, and we're on to Tampa Bay.
What'd you see on tape?
I thought we gave them a lot of chances, you know, as far as execution on defense in particular, same thing on offense. You know, we had a holding penalty, you know, on the first play of the game that was, you know, a 30-yard gain that puts us in scoring zone that got called back. And, you know, I think special teams-wise, you know, we all watched it as a team today because there were some great efforts and performances, and we got to be able to duplicate that on the other two phases.
So typically you don't watch it as a team, special teams?
Well, the guys involved in it will watch it, yeah. But we watched, you know, on the whole football team to see, you know, really all three phases of the game today.
And you still saw some good things, too. Let's not just bury it because the special teams is a perfect example. There was some strong effort plays on the defensive side of the ball. Stopping the run was one of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, Adrian Peterson's, you know, a great, great player. They lean on the run quite a bit. And, you know, I thought our run defense was pretty solid. You know, I think we just made too many errors in the passing game.
And the penalties, they weren't a large number, but they were critical ones in this. Those stinking offsides penalties where you're trying to get a little jump or maybe you just didn't line up exactly right. Those are the ones that, like, scratch your fingernails on a chalkboard kind of anger, right, when you feel like that?
I mean, I think, you know, again, it's, you know, that's all part of football, even at its lowest level. You know, you got to be able to line up correctly and stay on sides, you know, move on the ball. And we had too many instances, four to be exact, where, you know, we gave them first downs or gave them other opportunities.
And flip it now on the offensive side of the ball. What's your view on some of those things today?
You know, I think, you know, the early one, the penalty was a little bit ticky-tack on the hold, but, you know, it's there. You know, we had another big play, third and 22. We convert. You know, it's one of those once-a-season plays you get to kind of trick them on. And, you know, we had it executed, and we got called for holding, you know, on a block from outside in, you know, that took that conversion back.
But these things are part of the deal of the learning process, right? I mean, hopefully, you know, the attention to detail over the course of 16 games sometimes is tough for all players. I mean, not everybody is mentally in tune every snap of every game and every season. So, I mean, you have to learn to do that, though. And you brought it up today, you know, what you tell these guys, focus. That's a big one. Forget about everything else. The focus, that's the first step in the process.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now in our current state, you know, we don't have a big margin for error. You know, that's why we've had so many close games, and unfortunately we weren't able to win our share of those. And, you know, yesterday was a little bit more of a below average performance in my estimation. And, you know, I think the score indicated that. But, you know, there was effort. Our guys work very hard. You know, we just have to play better. More consistently.
And the intensity angle, and this is something you also preach, and Pernell McPhee's been out there in front of it for you and being that team leader, and he brought it up again after the game. He was not happy with everyone in that aspect of it. Are you okay with him voicing those opinions?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, sometimes how you voice it, you know, I want players to be involved. You know, they're invested in it too. So, and Purnell's been, you know, a great voice for our football team. But at the end of the day, I think guys want it, you know, it's, but you got to need it. And to need it, you got to work to get it. So, you know, that's where we are right now, doing it consistently.
You know, and those folks who think that Purnell just speaks this stuff in the locker room every week because he's a great quote, so the microphones and the pen and mic club love all that. They love going to Purnell because he's going to be honest. But I've got the impression from talking to him, even off the losing does hurt him.
Yeah.
Like this is one guy you can look in the eye and know it's painful.
No doubt. And it should be to everybody. I think it is. I think, from that standpoint, I think our locker rooms continue to work hard. They're willing to work, willing to do the little things that are important. And now we just got to be able to do it. It's what to do, how to do it, and do it under pressure. And that's the key part, is being able to do it consistently under pressure.
Well, I was going to finish up here with the focus, the intensity, the preparation. You've been pleased with the preparation for the most part. And if it hasn't been there individually, likely that individual isn't a part of Sundays anymore.
Yeah, I think that's something that again, in this profession, you got to work hard. You're a professional, coming to work every day with a passionate attitude, and I think we're starting to get that now. We just got to perform better.
Kyle Long at right tackle. Again, you've been peppered with questions about here the last couple of weeks. Looking for consistency at a brand new position, nothing was ever going to be simple about it.
Yeah, I think, again, lots made about Kyle. I think, we had some other issues too, not just Kyle in the protection. There's a lot of moving parts when you're involved in passing the ball. He'll continue to get better. He gave up a couple of poor technique plays, but so did a lot of people.
And the fact is, I work with an offensive lineman every Sunday, so the thing he's preached to me over the 19 years I've known him in the booth is repetition. And these guys haven't had a ton of reps together, that offensive line. That's not an excuse. It's a reality.
No, I mean, we've got a rookie starting at center, and Hronis is getting better every week. And, we're trying to speed it up as fast as possible. But those game experiences, there's no replacement for that.
A raw right tackle, when you get right down to it, no matter if he's had Pro Bowl accolades as a guard, he's a raw right tackle right now, learning the position. You got three different centers, right? Or was it four? I can't even remember now. But, you love to have the 16-game starts for every guy, and only two have taken every snap, and that's, Matt Slauson and Kyle Long. So it's part of the process. And things, have not been awful this season on the offensive line. It's just a couple things here in the last couple weeks.
No, I think, and then, you get into that kind of game, it's never pretty for any opponent when you're playing catch up. And I think, we put ourselves in that position. We got no one to blame but ourselves. And, when pretty much everybody in the stadium knows it's a pass. It's advantage defense, especially at home.
Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hawk.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continue.
Bridgewater from center. McKinnon the back. He'll get the handoff up the middle. Worked off a block and into the arms of John Timu. Timu's had several solo tackles in his first NFL action.
And he winds up with nine tackles, eight of them solo, including a tackle for loss. And after each and every single tackle, the man got up with great enthusiasm and was pumped up. I love seeing the emotion of John Timu. Our Xfinity Player of the Game brought to you by Xfinity. And welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Hallis Hall with head coach John Fox. So let's talk a little John Timu, number 53, getting his first NFL start against a Hall of Fame running back, Adrian Peterson, and acquitted himself quite well.
Yeah, he did very well. I think he's very instinctive. He's really good in the run game. He's got good play recognition. I think the coaching staff did a good job with him, and he responded.
What did you see in practice that allowed you to put him out there?
Well, I think all along he's been with us, though, since the off season. So he knows the system. In practice, he gives a good look, and we hadn't played real well at that spot consistently enough, and particularly in the run game. And he's very downhill and very decisive, and that was beneficial.
And frankly, a ton of experience, because this is a man who started as a freshman or played as a true freshman, 51 starts at college, and a three-time captain on a defense that was pretty decorated in terms of players that were drafted high, and they had a lot of big names on that Washington defense. So the whole thing about him, forget about whatever speed or whatever. It's the instincts. It's the intensity. All those things you love.
Yeah, I think, the fact that he started in the game really was beneficial, because typically your backups are on special teams, and we'd struggled in that area early or in the season. We've kind of gotten that squared away. Actually, that was one of our bright spots in the game from Sunday. So, putting him as a starter, I think, helped us a lot.
Deontay Thompson, now number one in the league. And I know he's only had a small sample size, but he's number one at 32 yards a return. Another big one to start the game, and he is enthusiastic about it as well. A guy I love talking to in the locker room. I personally, you know, when you talk about your tough guys, he might be one of them.
There's no doubt. I think the way we started the game, and you know, we get pegged, you know, not starting fast, but you know, bringing the opening kickoff to the 50-yard line is not a bad start. And you know, he's gotten better. He's done it a couple times now when we kind of got him in there. He's a guy that we found, you know, during the season on another roster, brought him in. He was on a practice squad. He kind of showed those type of abilities. We plugged him in as a returner, and I think, you know, the more and more you see him the last two games of the year, I think, you know, you'll see more and more of him at wide receiver as well.
Yeah, and he wants that, obviously. He's looking forward to that, but that is speed there. That's a speed element that affords you the opportunity, because it is one big running play when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
On the kickoff return.
Yeah, I mean, it's it was well blocked. I think, you know, we've kind of piecemealed some guys together that have done a much better job over about the last six games of the season.
And you'd be concerned if you didn't see that growth. But you're seeing growth on special teams. And Sherrick now more dedicated to just that, which is his specialty. Been getting down there, and he's piling up tackles on special teams on the punt game and also kickoff.
Yeah, he's our points leader in that department, and has done a terrific job, both whether it's blocks or even tackles in the coverage game. He's been tremendous.
And a great job on the onside kick recovery.
Yeah, very good. I mean, we've had that up for about 5 weeks, and it was a perfect opportunity to do it, and it was very well executed.
Right, because you talk about, and I think I brought it up with you in the postgame show. I don't remember. I talked to you so much, I don't remember what one conversation.
We do talk a lot, Jeff.
But it's the, you know, if when you defer, you're trying to get, I think this is the philosophy, trying to get a 2-for-1. You know, you get the ball, get on the board. They did. They get the second half, but you took that away. Now, the key is to cash in on it, which, unfortunately, the strip sack turned out to be pretty big.
Yeah, I think even though the first half didn't go as well as we had planned, I thought, coming up with that idea to do that was an ideal opportunity, but then to turn around and give momentum back to them with a sack fumble wasn't by design, for sure.
Demontre Hurst was in the slot yesterday. How did he perform?
Not bad. You know, he didn't get tested a lot, but he did get a hit on the quarterback. Unfortunately, it was a little bit low. He stumbled a little bit on his way in there. But I think, he performed his job. He did what he's supposed to, and that can be a good thing when you're not noticed.
Right. Calls like that, when you chop down a quarterback, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt 100% of the time, in my opinion. But, you know, when you stumble into something, are you less, what's the word I'm looking for? You're less concerned about what he did, or do you think that it was a fair penalty?
Well, no, I think the call was good.
Okay.
You know, he was definitely too low on the quarterback. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't
trying to get home.
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get home.
He was trying to make a play, and you know, that guy's a mobile quarterback, and sometimes those things happen, but it was not intentional.
Bears have not won a December game in a while. I think back in 2013 to the Browns game, which is irrelevant to you in this current moment, but the point I'm trying to make is, and I've always brought it up with people when they talk about December football. December football is different, isn't it? It's different. Yes, the game is four games in September and four in October and blah, 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 but December football is just different. Is that something this team and moving forward will have to learn about December football?
Well, I think we've got, you know, to learn a lot, actually,
yeah.
but that's part of it. You know, people remember what you do in December, and unfortunately for us, we came off the Green Bay game. You know, we had a very tough loss against San Francisco here. You know, I think, then you go follow it up with Washington, who's a better football team than people understand, I think. We lose a 3-point game to them. So that doesn't do much for your confidence and build a momentum. And those are two games that are in December. You know, then we follow it up, with the Vikings loss. They played very well. We were probably, about our C-plus game, and that's about it. So we've got, one more game in December and one more in January to close out the season, and we're looking to improve in those two.
The whole point, though, I'm trying to make is that when you get to be a playoff contender, that's when they really the great ones and the great players, they really crank it up in December. Do you agree that there's a different intensity to December football with especially really good teams?
Well, no doubt, because if you're going to finish the season strong, you have to finish the season strong.
Right.
You know, and that's, hopefully you're playing for something when you get in December, and it's crunch time, and that's what separates people down the stretch.
All right, time at 6:48. Continue on with our coaching show with John Fox. We'll have one more segment with Coach and Glenn Pyrus, the Bears linebacker coach, who joined the program. Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, this Wednesday night after Illini basketball on WSCR 670, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Inside laugh. I don't know. Something we talked about last week, it just reminded me, and I just started laughing. So, you people listening, I'm not going crazy. Fox is funny. That's number one. He's a funny guy.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Bridgewater takes the snap, stunt inside. He flushed and brought down Willie Young, nibbling at his ankles, sacks Bridgewater, and down he goes.
Back in five straight games, joining only Brian Urlacher and Steve McMichael in Bears history to accomplish that. And McMichael, I think people would be surprised to know he did it twice. He was a much better pass rusher than people may think. The play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with John Fox for one more segment before he goes to work on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Willie had some interesting things to say today. I love his enthusiasm. Early in the year, he was kind of quiet. Wasn't sure about all this, rushing from the two-point stance and being an outside linebacker, but he's really having fun out there. It shows in his performance, and he loves the idea that you guys are using him at right defensive end to work against a left tackle. He's taking pride in that, and he's never really done that consistently against left tackles. He's worked against right tackles.
Yeah, Willie's arguably playing as well as anybody on our football team right now, and he has of late. And, you know, he's worked very hard. Clint Hurt, his position coach, has done an outstanding job with him. You know, Willie struggled early because he's coming off of a major injury, an Achilles surgery. And so, you know, really way back in camp, you know, we were monitoring what he did. And then, you know, his playing time slowly has picked up. And like I said, he's playing as well as anybody right now.
And you can never, ever have enough pass rushers.
No.
And he's a pass rusher.
Yeah, he's really done a great job. And, you know, we drop him into coverage a little bit. He's gotten more comfortable with that. But the majority of the time, Vic's calling defenses where he's rushing.
Okay, so moving forward now, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a Lovie Smith game. And so it's weird this year, the different things that have gone on just by simply luck in terms of coaching changes and whatnot. So for the second consecutive year, there's still a few Lovie guys on the team. We call them Lovey guys because they were here from the start in a nine-year period. You mentioned today you've known Lovey a long time. You know exactly what kind of football team he's going to put on the field. It's pretty clear.
No doubt. I think they've assembled a pretty good young group of players, and Jameis Winston's probably the most noticeable one at the quarterback position, and they're running the football very effectively. Martin, out of Boise State, he's a very physical runner. They've got a big physical offensive line. And they're going to run some play action off of that. Defensively, they're still utilizing the Tampa 2,
yep,
as well as some fire zones and different things on defense. And I've not dug into their special teams yet, but, it'll be a great test for us down in Tampa.
The muscle hamster, mm-hmm. Doug Martin. What a great nickname.
I don't think he likes it.
No?
No, I don't think he does.
Is that what you hear?
It'd be
a good nickname for you back in the day.
San Diego State,
muscle hamster there slamming people from safety.
There wasn't a lot of muscle.
The thing about it, I've seen pictures now. Don't sell yourself short. You had a big old neck on you, man. I'll tell you that right now. But I'll tell you this, though. He is number one in the NFL in yards after contact. So he and AP, now they're totally different types of backs, but he's a hard guy to tackle.
Yeah, he's kind of more Jonathan Stewart build-wise, very, very thick in the lower body. Not that Adrian's not, because he is as well. But he's had a great season, and he'll be a tough stop for us.
I know earlier today you hadn't had time to dig in yet. What have you seen in terms of your interpretation and evaluation of Jameis Winston at quarterback? And I don't know how deep you've gone into the season, where he's come from to where he is now.
Well, I see improvement. I think they've opened it up a little bit more. They're not just giving him carte blanche, which is smart for a rookie quarterback. But he's got good command. He's a very smart guy, football wise. We talked to him in the process coming out of Florida State. He's athletic. He's big. He can make all the throws. He's got a very strong arm. He'll be a good test.
Outstanding young receiver Mike Evans, tearing it up. Only the eighth player ever in NFL history with 1,000-yard receiving in their first two seasons. Odell Beckham in that category, too. These young receivers coming in, and there are, it makes you wonder what Kevin could have done. But, you know, they're making impacts immediately. He's something.
Yeah, he's definitely their go-to guy, their leading receiver. He's a big target. He's got good deep speed. He'll be a tough matchup for us for sure.
All right, lastly, 84 degrees and 70% humidity is the long-range forecast for Sunday. We all love that, but in terms of players and everything, in terms of hydration over the course of the week, you do have to focus on that, don't you? This is a little different situation going on there with that mid-80 temperature and high humidity. Do you really have to impress upon younger players? You got to get hydrated now.
Yeah, I think, you know, our physical science people do a great job, Jen Gibson and the rest of the staff. So our guys are, you know, pretty well, versed on the hydration. And plus the fact we're traveling, you know, we'll be at altitude for a little bit to get down there. And there's even a forecast for rain at this point. So
Why'd you ruin it for me?
Yeah, exactly.
I said 84 and sunny.
I think you'll be covered up. I won't.
All right, we're out of time. You got to go to work. Thanks again, as always, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to your family.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you, Jeff.
John Fox coming up next. Glenn Pyrus, the linebackers coach, joins us.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring linebackers coach Glenn Pyrus. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Bridgewater milking the clock down to two, takes the shotgun snap. Blitzes on. Anderson hits him. Slings him down. He gets rid of the football, incomplete. Asiata at the five. But a big, strong blitz by the linebacker. Came very quickly untouched on top of Teddy Bridgewater. And he was forced to get rid of it.
And some linebacker conversation now to continue our Bears Coaches Show here, brought to you by McDonald's here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Glenn Pyrus here with us, and we're going to talk about all your guys, but overall, little snippets from the game yesterday. What was your reaction after you threw on the tape today and watched everything from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, Jeff, it was a game that we weren't as consistent as we wanted to be, and I think that we showed some flashes here and there, you know, some encouragement by some of the young guys, but I think the consistency thing was the thing we needed to get a lot better with.
Which is always the case, right,
yes,
with
sir.
A young team and young guys.
Yes, exactly.
So how do you get that? How do you get that? Just reps and experience.
Well, what Coach Fox preaches is the winning on the practice field. That's how we're going to win games, and winning in the meeting room, and we can't deviate off of that. We have to be consistent to that during the week and our preparation. We truly believe that's going to carry over into our Sunday.
That little snapshot highlight right there, forcing a quick throw by Jonathan Anderson, and he's been your nickel guy. How's he coming along as an undrafted rookie free agent? He didn't love how his college career ended, but right. He loves getting the opportunity right now. How's he progressed?
Yeah, I think he's definitely, his arrow is up. His arrow is up, but I think now that we're into the late games, week 14, week 15, 16, for those young guys, little uncharted waters for him right now. So for him to finish strong is going to be very, very big for him, and for him to keep that arrow going up as we're into the late games is going to be big for him, Jeff.
There is a physical component to that, but because it is now for them with four preseason games and whatever they went through in the offseason just to get themselves in a position to be signed by somebody, in his case not drafted, all the different workouts, you know, there's never a lot of breathing time for a rookie to come into the NFL. What's the mental component of finishing a season strong? Is that as much to do with this rookie wall they speak of as is the physicality of it?
Yeah, Jeff, it's that staying committed and staying on track in terms of the studying off the field and on the field, taking care of himself, taking care of his body, getting his rest, being on time, and just being diligent with what he has to do. I find eating well, our trainers and our nutrition people do a great job. All those have to fall into place, because if they don't take care of himself physically, then, as you know, then mentally things are going to drop. So we keep stressing it, and our people here do a great job of that.
All right, so yesterday you had a debut for John Timu, and every time, and I talked about this with Coach Fox earlier tonight, every time you made a tackle, made a play, or involved, got up with great enthusiasm. Is this who he is? Is this an enthusiastic young player?
Yes, it is. I'm not surprised at all. As you know, he ended up well in the preseason. He was up the first couple of weeks. He's been on the practice squad. But he hasn't acted like that. He has progressed. He's in every meeting. He gets the game plan. He's involved in the game plan. And he's improved in practice throughout the whole week. It's like he's going to play a game. That's how he's been the last, 7, 8 weeks or wherever it's been. So him playing well and his enthusiasm doesn't surprise me as well as the rest of the players. He's a guy that has embraced the practice squad and has done a very good job with it.
Perfect example to set for everybody else, too. And there have been several guys like that on every phase of this football team that have worked their way off the practice squad into the starting lineup, in this case, for last week's game. But the analysis of Tom Thayer, my broadcast partner and the former Chicago Bears Super Bowl offensive lineman, he kept bringing up the name Zach Thomas last night because he was looking at Kendricks, the linebacker from Minnesota, being a second-round pick, mm-hmm. who was a 4'6 guy, John Timo a 4'8 guy, and Tom refuses to believe that 0.2 seconds makes a difference in a player. It is about the instincts. Mm-hmm. It's about the ability to come downhill and the willingness to tackle and to wrap, which he clearly knows how to do. It's a beauty is in the eye of the beholder kind of look at this thing, but this is a kid who played 51 college games and was a three-time captain. So is there much difference because you coach Zach Thomas?
Yeah, having been with Zach, it's funny that Tom brought that up. And something that you look for, and I think you noticed in the game, was before the ball was snapped, he moves body language. His body language, he was calling out formations. He was recognizing pre-snap awareness. This is what we do. Zach was a master at that. He did a terrific job during the weekend preparation, and John has those qualities. And I think that's what I was looking for. Okay, before the snap, how is he going to be prior to the snap? And his body mannerisms and his communication was excellent. So I said, I know he's going to be on the right track. And he kept that going for the entire game. So kudos to Tom to say that, because Zach was a master at that as well, knowing what's going to happen prior to the play. And John, you know, John, not didn't, like I said, it didn't surprise me, Jeff. He worked very, very hard at it.
We're trying to remember and figure out and look up what was Zach Thomas's 40 time. It certainly wasn't in the 4.4s, but it was good enough, right?
It was good enough, but it was what between the years,
right.
What made Zach everything that he was.
All right, we'll continue with our interview here with the linebackers coach of the Bears, Glenn Pyrus.
The Bears Coaches Show with linebackers coach Glenn Pyrus and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Most impressive thing to myself, I would say, is me rushing from the right side, either from the 2-point or 3-point. I really rush consistently from the right side. The left tackles are obvious guys of the offensive line. I'm used to going against the right tackle, and it was always a question in my head as to whether or not where my skills were actually at. Just being able to rush from the right side, man, and be productive.
And Willie Young has been very productive over the last five games with another sack yesterday, now a team-leading 6.5 at outside linebacker. Welcome back to the program, the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. The Chicago Bears Network presenting Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Linebackers coach Glenn Pyrus, and he's had, granted, you're coaching the linebackers. Clint Hurd helps, obviously, is the outside linebackers coach, but you got your hand in all of this. Tell me about Willie Young. Tell me how you've seen his development over the course of the season.
You know, as Willie's playing a lot faster right now, he's being a lot more assertive in the run game as well as in the pass game, as you mentioned, in sacks, and that has really stood out, and guys are really feeding off of that. I think his knowledge, getting reps more so as he may be earlier on in the year, but he is just taking it to another level from a physical standpoint. But he's a great student of the game as well. I mean, he wants to do it right within our system and keeping it tight within our system as well. And that's been a great great asset for him.
And he's a fun guy. He's a fun guy, right? Enthusiastic.
That's what I was in. He's got the enthusiasm, the energy now. Just keep it within, tight within the system, do what we want to do. And that's exactly what Willie's been doing for us.
We talked about John Timu last segment. The flip side of that is the reality for a young player like Christian Jones, who was inactive for the first time all year. Mm-hmm. What's that conversation like? What was his reaction to it? I'm sure he didn't feel great about it. He shouldn't feel great about it. But it's a learning experience too, right? What did you have to say?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, I think, once again, I'm going to Coach Fox and what he tells our players, your role's changed in the NFL a lot. Each week is a different week. And you've got to be ready to have a different role, whatever that might be. And that was my conversation with Christian. I said, Christian, this week your role is going to be this. And how well you adapt to that role and how you accept that role, whatever we give you, that's going to be very, very important. Maybe you might not be happy with it, but you will have a big role, as he did last week. And he handled it well. Now, what's his role? I said, what your role is going to be next week? We'll see what it's going to be next week. But be a pro regardless of your role, as Coach Fox says to our players, week to week.
You're going to learn a lot about him. You're going to learn what's he going to do now? You know, and this is, I remember Alex Brown, and it just popped into my head because he was inactive for his first NFL game. He was upset, number one, that he wasn't a first-round pick. He was a fourth-round pick. He was at Florida. He sacked the quarterback, didn't like how – and he vowed never, ever, ever to again let that happen, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. He was never inactive again, and that's what you hope guys will take from it, right?
Exactly, and opportunities come at different times, and John Timu and whoever the young guys take advantage of it, and we just have to keep on moving forward. We're a moving forward operation, as Coach Fox says, and that's what we're looking forward to seeing, who's going to take advantage of that, and that's always going to be a part of our process.
Tell us about Shea McClellan.
Shea is a guy that I really feel is understanding things better. He's taken a leadership role. I think he has so much to improve on. He's hard on himself, Shea, and he'll be the first to tell you. He's a perfectionist somewhat, and I think he is a guy that is embracing the middle linebacker position. I think he enjoys being in that one spot, and I'm just looking forward to him being a Bear and working with him for many, many years to come.
When, you know, because there's inexperience there inside for him, so when does that inexperience start to dissipate? You know, in terms of your experience as a linebackers coach over the years, and you've coached a lot of great linebackers, mm-hmm. how do you close the gap on that?
Well, you know, understanding, and when you're in the league from week to week, concepts. You get concepts in the run game and in the pass game. Things are going to happen from different teams, but it's going to be the same concept. You're going to see the same type of reps. And when that starts to get ingrained in what he's going to see, now he's going to be a lot more comfortable. Might be a different team, might be a different jersey, but they're going to do the same type of things on third down. The run game is going to be similar when they're in these type of people. That's when you talk about experience, that's when he starts to grasp things and he needs to play faster, knowing that this is what's going to happen in this situation with this particular personnel. So now there's a lot of carryover in the NFL from week to week, and I think that's where he's starting to make some strides.
So if you can focus in on the concepts and understanding them, all that pre-snap, you know,
exactly.
stuff goes out the
exactly.
window, all those influences, you got to filter through all that, right?
Exactly, exactly. And week to week, it is a copycat league. If it's something we didn't do well last week, you know you're going to see it again. Get it.
Has that been true every week this year?
Well, I think to a point. I mean, some teams, they're just going to do what they do. They
yeah.
don't care what other teams do. But to a point, that is going to happen. I mean, if whatever part of a game was a weakness for a week ago, they're certainly going to find it if you fix it. Certainly.
All right, we'll continue on one more segment with our linebackers coach, Glenn Pyrus. As we get you set for Bears and Buccaneers, we'll dig into that a little bit, talk a little Jameis Winston and the muscle hamster, Doug Martin. Heck of a running back to deal with, just like Adrian Peterson last week.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program, everybody, here from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. And don't miss your chance to watch your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Visit Ticketmaster.com today and spend game day with the Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Our remaining moments with Glenn Pyrus, the Bears linebackers coach. There was a player also, and the reason I bring it up again is the tie-in with Anderson and Timu and some other undrafted guys on this team. I really feel John Fox, as a coach, loves the undrafted mindset of a guy that's going to do everything to crawl his way and scratch his way into a lineup and have a long career. He's done it with guys in Denver and Carolina. Vic Fangio's done it, and you've done it. And there was a guy that you coach of the Arizona Cardinals when you first started your NFL career, Ronald McKinnon. Everybody remembers him, a tackle machine, a 10-year vet.
Wow.
I mean, the pride it must feel, right?
That's a great name you brought up, Jeff.
Wait, though.
Wow, that's excellent.
But the pride, no, I'm serious, because I love the undrafted mindset.
Yeah.
You look those guys in the eye, and you know they want it. But for you to get it out of them, and then to have them flourish and become a significant member of the National Football League, not just that 3.1-year average, but to have a 10, how gratifying is it?
You know, Jeff, it's so funny you bring it up. Ronnie's a very dear, dear guy, and as you mentioned, Division II Player of the Year, undrafted linebacker, came in, just picked his name out of a hat, literally. I mean, and we brought him in. He was a potential special teams guy. And 13 years later, an NFL veteran, captain of the Arizona Cardinals, took us to a playoff game. He's a special guy that just, those guys, as you said, they're not gonna be denied. But it's the mental part that puts them over the edge. That's the key. Ron might be 5'11", maybe 235. You talk about 40 times. I mean, but the mental part and the over and over and over again of being determined to get things down as a lineman. That was his great quality. That kind of gets me, you know, they got me excited by bringing his name up, Jeff. He's a great guy.
I think of London Fletcher in the same way.
Yeah.
What a respected guy. Mm-hmm. And just these guys, they just were tackle machines, and guys followed them. So that's a great lesson for every guy in that locker room, those young guys. And, you know, just talking to the Andersons and the Timus and Bryce Callahans, you can see it.
Absolutely.
You can see it in their eyes.
I'm only going to bring one name up, not to stump you, but guy last year had Paul Warrilow with the Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
Out of Delaware, was undrafted as well, and he is a guy that has a lot of those same qualities that you're talking about, and he's still playing now, doing a great job, and he's the captain of that defense as well.
Outstanding. We're out of time. I'd ask you about the Bucks, but we got to get back to Coach Fox. Thank you very much for joining the program. Earlier tonight, Coach Fox on the Bears.
You know, when you grow up in this profession, you know, you're pretty much used to working Thanksgiving, Christmas. You know, we'll meet in here. We'll give them a couple hours in the morning, Christmas morning, but we'll form up here at 9:30 Friday morning.
Yeah, that's the way it works. And you hope, you know, every time you're working through New Year's and everything, which in this case you will because of a January 3rd game. But the schedule doesn't change. Just got to go about your business.
No doubt. You know, I think, you know, we kind of made the corrections from this past weekend's game, and we're on to Tampa Bay.
What'd you see on tape?
I think we gave them a lot of chances, you know, as far as execution on defense in particular, same thing on offense. You know, we got a holding penalty, you know, on the first play of the game that was, you know, a 30-yard gain that puts us in scoring zone that got called back. You know, I think special teams-wise, you know, we all watched it as a team today because there were some great efforts and performances, and we got to be able to duplicate that on the other two phases.
So typically you don't watch it as a team, special teams?
Well, the guys involved in it will watch it, but we watched, you know, on the whole football team to see, you know, really all three phases of the game today.
And you still saw some good things, too. Let's not just bury it because the special teams is a perfect example. There was some strong effort plays on the defensive side of the ball. Stopping the run was one of them.
Yeah, I think, you know, Adrian Peterson's, you know, a great, great player. They lean on the run quite a bit. And, you know, I thought our run defense was pretty solid. You know, I think we just made too many errors in the passing game.
And the penalties, they weren't a large number, but they were critical ones in this. Those stinking offsides penalties where you're trying to get a little jump, or maybe you just didn't line up exactly right. Those are the ones that, like, scratch your fingernails on a chalkboard kind of anger, right, when you feel like that?
I mean, I think, you know, again, it's, you know, that's all part of football, even at its lowest level. You know, you got to be able to line up correctly and stay on sides, you know, move on the ball. And we had too many instances, four to be exact, where, you know, we gave them first downs or gave them other opportunities.
And flip it now on the offensive side of the ball. What's your view on some of those things today?
You know, I think, you know, the early one, the penalty was a little bit ticky-tack on the hold. But, you know, it's there. You know, we had another big play, 3rd and 22. We convert. You know, it's one of those once-a-season plays you get to kind of trick them on. And, you know, we had it executed, and we got called for holding, you know, on a block from outside in, you know, that took that conversion back.
But these things are part of the deal of the learning process, right? I mean, hopefully, you know, the attention to detail over the course of 16 games sometimes is tough for all players. I mean, not everybody is mentally in tune every snap of every game and every season. So, I mean, you have to learn to do that, though. And you brought it up today, you know, what you tell these guys. Focus. That's a big one. Forget about everything else. The focus, that's the first step in the process.
Yeah, I think, you know, right now in our current state, you know, we don't have a big margin for error. You know, that's why we've had so many close games, and unfortunately weren't able to win our share of those. And, you know, yesterday was a little bit more of a below average performance in my estimation. And, you know, I think the score indicated that, but, you know, there was effort. Our guys work very hard. You know, we just have to play better, more consistently.
And the intensity angle, and this is something you also preach, and Pernell McPhee's been out there in front of it for you and being that team leader. And he brought it up again after the game. He was not happy with everyone in that aspect of it. Are you okay with him voicing those opinions?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, sometimes how you voice it, you know, I want players to be involved. You know, they're invested in it too. So, and Purnell's been, you know, a great voice for our football team. But at the end of the day, I think guys want it, you know, it's, but you got to need it. And to need it, you got to work to get it. So, you know, that's where we are right now, doing it consistently.
That's John Fox on the Bears Coaches Show. We want to thank him for his time along with linebacker coach Glenn Pyrus. I'm Jeff Joniak, and thanks to our producer, Greg Miller, tonight, producer Andy Gersher, studio producer Keith Johnson, Bears Bucks in Tampa Bay, Florida. Pre-game begins at 9, kickoff at noon on Sunday. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night from PNC Studio at Hallis Hall.